Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41 is where we're going to be this morning. So if you're not there, you can get there or get beside somebody who is. Will you pray with me? Father, we just ask that you would lead us through your word this morning. We ask that you, your spirit would lead us, that you would reveal your truth to us, that you would convict us of who you are, convince us of who you are, even in the midst of the storm. God, we continue to lift those up who are in the storm right now and will be in the hours to come. And Lord, we lift up the ones that are dealing with the weight of making decisions on behalf of many, many people. God, we pray that you would give them wisdom. More than anything, Lord, we pray for your glory to be made known here in our midst this morning and then even in the midst of the storm. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Read with me. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. This is towards the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He has just, according to Mark, just told several parables relating to growing and in agriculture and growing in the Lord. And then we find he and those that are following him in the midst of, or in a boat in the midst of a storm. Follow along with me as I read. Verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose. And the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Amen. So, we're going to pull three pieces of the truth out of this morning, but I want us, just a heads up, as we walk through this and we look to see how it applies to our lives, we're going to see that it applies to our lives today and tomorrow, because we're going to be in the midst of a tropical storm or a hurricane or something. But you and I both know that there's other kinds of storms in our lives. And so I don't want us just to leave it and apply it to the weather, although it does apply to the weather. I want us to bring it home to what's going on in your life and my life. Perhaps you're not in the middle of the storm, but maybe you've been there, and we probably soon will be if we aren't. But I also want us to apply it to our church and the local church in general. So, are you ready? First truth piece is this. When storms come, they do not lessen the presence of God. He does not go away in the midst of storms. Look at verse 35, 36, and 37. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. but he was in the stern. Notice that the storm was unexpected, the storm was powerful, and out of the disciples and the others that were in the other boats, it was completely out of their control. The storm was eventually, on the track that it was on, going to be deadly. We see later on when they wake Jesus up, they ask him, does he not realize that they're dying, that they're perishing? So they recognize that. Even as experienced fishermen that were used to being on the water and probably used to storms arising quickly, they were afraid for their lives. So this must have been a pretty bad storm. Some of you that are fishing, know that it can get scary really fast when you're out in the middle of the water on a boat. It happened to me and my dad one time. We were with a man in his boat. He took us fishing, and we were out in the middle of Lake Seminole, and our lines started lifting up off the water because of the static electricity in the air. And I'm like, I'm young, so I'm like, oh, wow. And my dad and this man were with her, like, trying to get the line in so we can get to the shore because we were out in the middle of the lake. It's scary. It was completely out of our control. And whether the storm is a hurricane, and it is completely out of our control, Irma is, no matter how long we watch binge on the Weather Channel, it's still out of our control. Or is something going on in our personal lives, our family issues, health issues, work issues, marital problems? They're often out of our control. But notice what didn't change in the midst of the storm. Before and after the storm, Jesus was with them. He was with them in verse 36 before the storm arose. They took him with them in the boat just as he was, and the other boats were with him. Then after the storm arose, in verse 37, and the windstorm arose, the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But, verse 38, he was in the stern. He was still with them. Jesus, the storm didn't show up and Jesus leave. He was with them the whole time. It's important that we recognize something about our world today, even about our culture here in Grady County and in our country. It's one of the things that comes up when storms arise and the aftermath, the destruction of storms are seen after storms pass. One of the questions that arises is, where is God? I've heard people ask it about Harvey. You can guarantee people will ask it about Irma if they aren't already. Where is God in the midst of this? And we, as God's people, as His church that is bought with His blood, need to be able to say, He's here. He was here before the storm, He was here during the storm, and He is here now. It's also important that we recognize this in the midst of our personal storms, if you will. Our temptation is to wonder where God is in the midst of storms. Just like Job in the Old Testament, who experienced awful circumstances in his life. He needed the presence of the Lord a lot more than he needed the answers of the Lord. And sometimes in the midst of personal struggles, whether it's health, marriage, family, work, whatever it is, often in the midst of those personal struggles, what we find ourselves wanting and asking for is answers, but what we find ourselves needing is what we already have, His presence. So perhaps you're in the middle of stuff right now in addition to Irma. You have the one thing you need. And that's the Lord. He is with you. And we can say that to a dying world. He is with us. So So the question this morning and in the days to come and perhaps in the months and years to come as we walk through more storms isn't whether the Lord is with us or not. It is whether or not we are His. The disciples were His disciples. He was with His disciples. One of the guarantees of the Lord is that He is with His people. From Genesis to Revelation, He is always with His people. So the question is not if He's with His people, it's whether or not I am His. So let me ask you this morning, are you His? Have you come to a place in your life, in a time in your life, where you've turned from doing life your way and turned to doing life His way? Repented of your sins is what we call it. You've repented. You've turned around and gone towards Him. You said, I'm done trying to do it my way. And you have believed in His life, His death, and His resurrection. If you've come to that point, no matter how recent, 10 minutes or 80 years ago, you are His and He is with you. That's great comfort to know, isn't it? So let me encourage you this morning, myself included. The winds are going to be howling, literally howling. Some of us will be sitting in our homes or wherever we find maybe somebody else's home or somewhere else, and we are going to be tempted to be afraid. If you are His, He is with you, even in the midst of the storm. Whatever other winds are howling in the midst of your life, He is with you. In the struggle of the local church today in our culture, when the church is becoming less popular and the culture is moving in a direction where church is not the thing to do, but one day it's going to be the thing not to do, we may ask and wonder, is the Lord with us in the midst of the storm we face in our culture? And the answer is yes, He is. He is. We need to know that for our own hearts. We need to know that for the hearts we're surrounded by so that we can tell others that. In church, there's going to be an ample opportunity in the days to come, I think, to tell people that. It's good news, isn't it? So when storms come, they do not lessen the presence of God. But not only that, when storms come, they do not lessen the sovereignty of God. Look at verses 37 through 40 with me. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Again, disaster was imminent. Death was imminent at this point if the storm had continued. The fear was that because Jesus was asleep, because he was silent, because he was seemingly unaware of what was going on, that it was out of his control. That was the fear. So they woke him up and they said, Jesus, what are you doing? Do you not care? And his response is to speak to nature and tell it to be quiet, to hush. And it obeyed. Notice that the storm, the presence of the storm, did not lessen the sovereignty of our Lord. He was in control when the storm was howling and the waves were crashing into the boat, and he was in control when the waters were peaceful the whole time. It wasn't as if the storm was waiting in the sky and saw that Jesus was asleep and said, ooh, now's my chance. Jesus was in control the whole time. And notice what Jesus does in this scene. Psalm 107, I'm going to read it to you. If you're a note taker, you can write it down and go back and review it. Psalm 107, verses 29 and 30. Speaking of God Almighty, says this. It says, He made the storm be still and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet and He brought them to their desired haven. This is speaking of Yahweh, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Creator of all creation. And so notice what Jesus does with the storm. He says, peace, be still, and the storm obeys Him just as it had obeyed God Almighty in the past, revealing Himself as God. Nature only obeys God. It has only ever obeyed God. Since He spoke it into existence, it has always responded to His words. And it does once again in this boat respond to God. God the Son. So if the disciples were paying attention, they would have caught it. That Jesus was showing them, telling them something through His actions, through the storm. He was teaching them something. This is one of those situations where we want to look down upon the disciples as if we wouldn't do the same. But don't we do the same thing? When storms arise, we are tempted to wonder the same thing our world asks out loud. If God is all powerful, why doesn't He stop it? And in the midst of our storms, when we are in trouble, we are tempted to wonder the same thing. If God is mighty and He loves me, is this out of His control? Is this outside of something that He can do? Is this outside of something that He can fix? As the disciples put it, do you not care that we are perishing? And the answer is, He does care, and it's not out of His control. Maybe He is using it for some other purpose. So, a couple of things. When the winds are howling over the next 48 hours, know that one, the Lord is with us, and two, that the winds that are howling outside of our homes and wherever we are going to be, those winds are not outside of His sovereignty. They are only blowing because He's allowing them to blow. When we see the devastation, the aftermath of Irma, know that in the midst of that, even that, as heartbreaking as it is not outside of His control. When chaos ensues in our personal lives, at work, home, family, marriage, health, that is not outside of His control. We need to know that. There are things that we can just grab a hold to in God's Word and just hang on to them in the midst of any storm. This is one of those things. He is with us, and He is in control. Storms don't lessen His presence. They don't weaken His power. Praise God. And finally, this. This is, we've already seen this, but just to drive it home in our hearts and our minds, God uses storms to reveal His presence and His sovereignty. He uses storms to show us that He is with us. He uses storms to show us just how powerful He is. It's precisely what Jesus did with the disciples. Jesus reveals Himself as God Almighty, the Creator of heavens and earth, who only the winds and the seas obey. That is who Jesus is. That's who he reveals himself to be when he speaks and the sea and the winds respond. But notice the disciples' response. Verse 40. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear, or astonished, or petrified, and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That's the point where you want to go to Peter and John and James and Andrew and you want to be like, flip back to Psalm 107, read your Bible. If you read your Bible, you'll know who this is. And we as a church need to pay attention to that. Because listen, I think sometimes people, we as his church and people in general, we don't recognize God's presence and God's power because we aren't familiar with God's presence and his power in his word. If we knew what it looked like in his word, when we look up to our world, we'd see it and know it. Are you in his word? So that you can recognize him in your world. God reveals himself through storms and circumstances that are out of our control. Think about God's word for a moment. In Genesis, we see Jacob sold into slavery by his brothers, wind up in another situation not long after that where he is thrown into jail, accused of something he didn't do, and he is in the bottom of the jail, just rotting away. And God uses that situation to move him into a place of power to preserve his people in the time of famine. God used a storm, a chaotic circumstance that was way out of Jacob's control to rescue his people. In Exodus, we see God's people, after being rescued out of Egypt, we see God's people, they're hungry and they're thirsty in multiple circumstances in the desert. Way out of their control. And God reveals himself to them as their provider, the God who cares for and has the power enough to provide for them in any circumstances, to give them bread from heaven and water from a dry rock. When God's people are under the threat of Goliath, God uses a small shepherd boy to rescue them, revealing himself once again as their rescuer. The passage that we heard Miss Karen read earlier, Isaiah 6, Isaiah is distraught because good King Uzziah has died. And he's not sure which direction the country is going to go. And in the midst of that circumstance, God reveals himself as the King of Kings in the midst of that storm. Then in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see it four times, the same historical account of Jesus. The Son of God comes to us, puts on flesh, lives the perfect life that we should have lived, is executed on a criminal's cross as a criminal, though he wasn't. The darkest day of history, he dies on the cross. As he dies in the middle of the day, creation goes dark. It even recognizes the death of the Son of God. And in the midst of the darkest days of history, Jesus lay in the grave, and God reveals himself in his Son through the resurrection. You see, God uses storms that are way out of our control. He uses circumstances that are way out of control to show us that he is with us, to show us that it is not out of his control. And what God did in the Bible, he does today. Perhaps Irma presents an opportunity for God's people to say, Jesus is Lord. Perhaps Irma presents an opportunity for God's people to be a light among the nations. Salt among a thirsty world, pointing them to living water. The question is not whether God is with us in the midst of storms. It is not whether or not He's powerful enough to help us in the midst of storms. It's just simply whether or not we are His. And if we are His, the question is whether or not we will recognize Him in the midst of those storms. I know there's a lot on your hearts and minds this morning. I know many of you have family in Florida, and we ourselves face the storm that is coming. So perhaps as God's people, the proper response, one of the proper responses to God's word this morning is to simply pray. Lord, help us. I believe You are with us. I believe You're powerful, much more powerful than this storm. Help me to recognize You in the midst of it. Help me to be a light for others to recognize You in the midst of it. Maybe you're in the midst of other storms in addition to Irma, and you just need to cry out to God and say, help me to see You in the midst of this. Help me to know You are here in the midst of this. Help me to know that You are stronger than this. Even when You don't do what I yearn for You to do, help me to know that and to see that. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord. Let me encourage you to turn from doing your life your way. Turn to Him, believe in His life, death, and resurrection. Find life in Him alone. Let's pray. Father, You are good. You are with us. You are our sovereign God, Creator of all creation. God, You know exactly how the storms in our life, including Irma, are going to affect us. You know exactly what the aftermath is going to look like. And God, You will be with us the whole time. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for using the worst things in our lives to show us just how good and glorious You are. And we pray that You would open the eyes of our hearts to see that. Pray these things in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
From above, I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. All my hope is in Jesus. Days gone, all my sins are forgiven, and I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. shackles and chains. But I've been freed and forgiven, and I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. So I say, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man. Break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord. Then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing. All my hope is in. I've been washed by.